ABC Listen, podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. I'm Lisa Leong. The author of Jolted, Why We Quit, When to Stay and Why It Matters, Professor Anthony Klotz from the UCL School of Management, is my guest. We spoke to him about the reasons why we quit our jobs and when to reconsider. You can find it in our podcast feed on ABC Listen or anywhere you get your podcasts. In this bonus episode of Try This, How to Quit, because it's important. Let's hear from This Working Life and Matt.
Hi, Lisa and team. Love your work. I've recently had to quit a volunteer role, so I've been thinking about how I could quit well. I was fortunate. I was able to give plenty of notice and work on a system that might hopefully outlast me. But I haven't always been able to do this. Sometimes you really do need to leave in a hurry. But even then, how you quit leaves a lasting impression. And quitting isn't always easy, even when it's the right thing to do. Both you and your workplace need to get ready for a different future. So, if you possibly can, how can you quit well?
Matt, love your work. So, Anthony, your thoughts on Matt's situation?
So there's a couple things that are really smart about the way that Matt described quitting the volunteer role. And one was that he just mentioned he gave it a lot of thought beforehand and didn't rush through it. And so I think that's critical. There's this pre-quitting period, this pre-resignation period, and it's important to spend as much time there as you need or as you can to really think about what's the best way to leave this job. And then it went on to say he was in a position to give plenty of notice, perhaps even more notice, and also to wrap up a project so that he would be able to leave this lasting positive impact on the organization. And, you know, we can talk about more negative and more positive quitting styles. That really bumps us into the more positive quitting styles of partly what I call a grateful goodbye, where you give a little bit more notice than is necessary. And you also give thought to how can I minimize the disruption of my departure from this work group. And he even went one step further and said, how can I have a lasting positive impact on this work group? And he hit the nail on the head saying, you know, these things matter. You're going to be remembered for the way that you quit. It's the last impression that you give. And so I think it was very wise words to take your time and do it the right way.
So that was the grateful goodbye, which is just a fantastic way to go. So Anthony, you've identified six other ways that people quit their jobs. Do you want to go through them? Let's go with by the book.
Yeah, by the book is the most basic and it leaves a fairly positive impression. And so this is leaving the appropriate amount of notice for your job. And so in many cases, this is what your contract tells you that you need to provide, or you've observed this is what people tend to provide at this organization. And then you have a face-to-face meeting with your boss, and it could be video face-to-face as well. And you let them know the reason that you're leaving. What's a little bit interesting about that is it does require a face-to-face meeting, and it does involve sharing, here's why I'm leaving this role.
Okay. Let's keep on going through. It's perfunctory. How do you say that? Perfunctory.
You nailed it. Perfunctory. And it's so perfunctory is the exact same as by the book. What was interesting when I was doing this research is the only difference in perfunctory resignations is that you have a face-to-face meeting, but you don't share what you're doing next. You just put in a fairly perfunctory, here's my 3 weeks notice. I'm quitting. I don't have anything else to share. And that slight difference has a very large impact on how the organization reacts to your news and how your manager reacts. So much more negative responses from the manager just by leaving out that one detail of what you're going to do next. And so, you know, really thinking through, there should probably be a pretty good reason for you not to share that information. Now, if you're going to work for a competitor, that's a good reason. But otherwise, it's worth spending a little bit of time, even though it can be an awkward conversation, letting your boss ask questions and sharing information about why you're leaving.
All right. So we've had by the book, perfunctory, and then the grateful goodbye, then that sounds like your gold standard.
Yeah, grateful goodbye is the gold standard. It's minimizing as much as you can the disruption that your departure is causing. And one other element, along with sometimes an extra notice period, is expressing gratitude toward the organization. So realize that your departure is often leaving behind folks whose feelings are a little bit hurt. They're experiencing it as a jolt and thinking, is this the place that I want to stay? And so expressing gratitude really makes the people left behind feel a lot better. Like, oh, I contributed to this person's life who's leaving, and I actually feel good about staying here because they're communicating that they're going to miss some things about this job, which, by the way, all of us will for most jobs. Like, nostalgia and a bit of regret is common in almost every resignation. You know, we don't quit jobs where we hate 100% of the job. We often quit jobs where we don't like 10% or 50% or 40%. And we're going to miss that other half or so when we leave. And so that gratitude is really heartfelt.
So why is this one common? Bridge burning.
Yeah. Bridge burning is common because there's lots of bad jobs and bad jolts out there. So my research has shown that why do people burn bridges? Which is engage in some form of counterproductive behavior aimed at their manager or their organization on the way out. And often this is bad mouthing the organization or your boss. But if you look online, you know, there's more and more people that show videos of quitting in, you know, sort of ridiculous ways that cast the company in a bad light. So there's lots of creativity here in bridge burning. And so you might be tempted to think these individuals who are bridge burners are bad people. Like, who would do that? You know, hire a marching band to march through their boss's office and announce they're quitting. but my research shows this is not about who they are. Like, personality, dark personality traits do not predict who burns bridges. What predicts who burns bridges is how they were treated in the months leading up to their resignation. So often there's a toxic manager that's driving this behavior, and it's their one last chance to maybe get even, or they've been treated really unfairly by a company policy. And so when I talk to organizational leaders and I say, if you see, you know, you've had a number of people who quit using bridge burning resignations, there's probably some problem that you have in that sector of the organization that needs looking into.
And it sounds like it's a power thing, isn't it? Because suddenly you get your voice back, you get your power back. And so what are you going to do with that power when you've been powerless before?
That's exactly right. I mean, for almost all of us, you know, most of the time in our relationship with our jobs, the organization has more power than we do. We need our job more than they need us. But as soon as you make the decision to quit, that power balance shifts. You've made plans for a life beyond this job, and ideally they would like you not to quit. And that power surge can be a little bit intoxicating and empower us to act out whatever feelings we may have toward the organization.
So I feel like this one is related, but impulsive quitting. Is this like the rage quit?
Yep. So this is quitting in the immediate wake of a jolt without giving it much thought, without giving any notice. A variant of this is ghosting, where you just don't show up anymore. And, you know, I've heard a number of stories of people who impulsively quit. And often it's a really negative experience happened. It could be something in their personal life, but often in their professional life. So just a really horrible insult from a coworker. And the person thought, you know what, for my well-being's sake, I don't think I need this job anymore, and walked away from it.
It's probably like straw that broke the camel's back type of thing.
That can be there as well, where you actually don't realize until you walked out the door how much the job was affecting your life. You didn't realize that you were at that point where that one more thing or that one off comment, or it could be just one more failure made you realize this is not the place, the job for me.
Okay, Anthony, what's in the loop?
Yeah, in the loop is another positive resignation style, but it's also risky. So this should only be attempted if you have a really trusting, open relationship with your manager and you really understand them well. And so what I found is a certain percentage of people, before they officially resign, they let their manager know, I'm thinking about quitting. And often this is done when people are quitting not to go to another job, but maybe to go back to school or to take some time off, or a more, you know, innocent reason for quitting. But it can be one of the most, you know, along with grateful goodbyes, it's the most it's the one that managers and organizations respond to most positively, because then your manager can help you craft a departure plan that works for you and works for the company as well.
So what do we do with these seven categories then?
Yeah, so these seven categories can be used during this pre-resignation, this planning period, to say, how do I want to leave this job? And there are times where you may think to yourself, this job, I will never have connections to any of these individuals again. And so it's actually fine for me to do a perfunctory style. I'd rather not share what I'm going to do next. And even though they're going to react negatively to it, that's okay, because I've thought it through. At other times, you know, you're thinking, I do have the bandwidth, like Matt did, to leave a little bit more notice than necessary. And that notice, extra notice, will give me the time to really make sure that I say goodbye to the people who I want to say goodbye to and not rush this departure. And it will also set me up for having this positive relationship with the company when I'm an alumni of it here shortly. And being a good alumni of a company has a number of advantages. First, you know, you can use the organization for references, and you can continue to have connections to the people at that company. But it also opens you up for boomeranging back to that organization. And when we're quitting, the last thing we may want to think about is ever boomeranging back to that job. But it's nice to have that safety net if it turns out there's this huge honeymoon jolt waiting for you on the other side of this job change. And so, you know, boomeranging along with those other reasons are, you know, good reasons to really think about, how can I resign, given my situation, how can I resign in the most positive way possible?
I like the idea of looking at the seven categories to sort of see where the fit is, because if you are in maybe a toxic environment, then I can see that even though the grateful goodbye is generally the gold standard, it might actually be inauthentic in your situation.
It might be inauthentic and cause you more stress than you want, and is really unnecessary in many cases. I will also say there's one style that we didn't talk about. It was the avoidant style. This can be a really tempting one when you're thinking about leaving and just want to get out the door. And especially if you have a bad relationship with your manager, avoidant resignations are when you either resign via email or text, or you resign by telling someone other than your manager, often your HR representative or your boss's boss. Now, when I ask student audiences and professional audiences, is it okay to resign via email? The responses are almost always split 50-50, whether it's okay or not.
Wow.
And text message is a little bit different. But the same thing goes for, is it okay to resign to HR instead of your boss? There's this split there. But all I can say is my research shows pretty clearly that your manager will respond quite poorly most of the time to resignations via email, resignations to, of course, their boss, or to HR instead of them. And so really thinking through, if you're tempted to take one of those avoidant paths, really making sure that you understand that you're probably going to lose some social capital with your manager by doing that, and maybe not set up the most successful resignation. But again, there's often good reasons to do it. And then it's just a matter of taking your time when you craft that email or text or Slack message or whatever it may be.
Anthony, you have a positive story about how you quit your old job and how your manager handled it at the time. Can you share it?
Yes. There was once where I was leaving a university to go to another one, and I had made my decision and it was final. And so I let my dean know. And she, you know, at first muttered a curse word, and it made me laugh, and it broke the ice. And then she astutely said, I noticed you said you've decided, and it sounds like the decision is done, and there's nothing I can do to change your mind. And I said, that's correct. But I really enjoyed working at that institution and had a great relationship with her. And she was in a position where she was able to say, look, I think you'll come back here. I don't think that next role, it's not the perfect role for you. So I just want to give you an option. So I'm not going to accept your resignation today, so you can keep it. I'm going to give you a 1-year leave of absence, and I'm going to check in with you over the next year. And if those honeymoon jolts come calling, even though she didn't say that, like if there's any regret, if there's any second thoughts, you can just come right back and you don't need to reapply for your old job. We'll have it here for you. And over the next year, her and some of her leadership team did check in every once in a while to make sure that the role was what I hoped it would be. And thankfully it was. And so at the end of that year, they asked me to, okay, now it's time for your resignation letter. Turn it in. Your 1 year leave of absence is up. I, to this day, you know, I'm a huge fan of that institution and that leader. And I think it's a great way to create alumni who are huge fans of the organization. And interestingly, you know, when the whole Great Resignation thing was happening and I was talking to a lot of executive teams about quitting, there was an organization that explained that this is part of their policy for retaining high performers. If they're losing someone who they really don't want to lose, they try to offer them this 1 year leave of absence and they hold a position open for them. And they were pretty successful at drawing people back because of these honeymoon jolts. They would get people to boomerang back. So it can be a pretty great way to create alumni who are big fans of the organization and to get some successful boomeranging happening. And it was just a great experience from my perspective.
Thanks, Anthony. And thanks for playing along with Try This.
I had fun. Thanks, Lisa.
And check out our companion episode, Should You Really Quit Your Job?, in the This Working Life podcast feed. You can find it on ABC Listen or anywhere you get your podcasts. This episode was produced by Michelle Weeks on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. I'm Lisa Leon. Until next time, work it like a charm.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.